You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Dr. Kate Room with us today. She's an author, a naturopath, teacher. She graduated from McMaster's University with an honors in science in biology, and she completed her professional training at the Canadian Naturopathic Medicine in Toronto. She was followed that with a two-year residency during which she taught classes and supervised at various teaching clinics. So you've been educating us for a long time now, Kate.
I have. That's right. Always nice to be back and chat with you.
Yeah, it's so good to have you on the program. I would love to have a discussion around hormones and stress today. Everybody's been in a different kind of stress this year. And can you just tell us a little bit about the endocrine system and how it works together? And then maybe we'll go over some of the things that we can do to help our bodies function a little better.
You know, when we talk about hormones, a hormone is a chemical messenger that is secreted from one part of the body that will have effects on other parts of the body. And hormones affect everything from energy, mood, sleep, you name it, really. They're quite complex. Even more so with women, of course, because they're changing not just daily, but monthly. Every hormone has a rhythm. Sometimes it is a diurnal or a day rhythm that could change depending on the day or night. Some change depending on the month, time of the month, or even the year, season. So it is quite an orchestra. It's quite complex. Things can go awry when we're producing too much or not enough of any given hormone. And, you know, some hormones, when they're overproduced, can affect other ones. So this is typically what happens when we start talking about stress and its effect on hormones.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a certain way when we're under a lot of stress, is there certain hormones that get out of whack first? Do we have more protective hormones for stress that are used with, like, maybe with the fight or flight? And then how does that work with all of them together?
Definitely. So, you know, like, our stress hormones are designed to protect us, of course. And in small amounts, that's exactly what they do. The main stress hormones being adrenaline, which is produced by the adrenal glands, but as well as in other parts of the body that is, you know, information that is coming more to light, for example, being secreted directly, for example, from our bones, which is an odd thought, but it makes a lot of sense. When you're talking about a fight or flight hormone, you mm-hmm. don't have time to see a stressor, have your brain tell your adrenal glands to make some adrenaline and then send it to your muscles. That, even if that took 2 seconds, that could be too long. Mm-hmm. So we now know that some of that is secreted directly from the bones to get you going immediately, which is kind of interesting and has health implications. So, but that is, you know, one of our main fight or flight hormones. There is a closely related hormone called noradrenaline, and its effects are primarily on the brain. And so instead of just, you know, mobilizing your muscles to get going, it will mobilize your brain, which, again, in very small amounts can help increase focus and concentration and help you increase your reaction time. But in larger amounts, it can lead to or exacerbate anxiety and problems with sleep. So it's, of course, balance is very important. And then, you know, that's the immediate effect of stress, this fight or flight hormone. But then over time, and that can be hours to days, our body will produce a different type of more chronic or long-term stress hormone that everybody has heard of, which is cortisol. Cortisol is a natural anti-inflammatory, among many other things. Everybody's familiar with the synthetic versions like cortisone that are given as anti-inflammatory, and that's because just in case you were injured in that fight or flight scenario, your body gives you a little bit of anti-inflammatory to help deal with those injuries. So again, small amounts, this is a good thing. Larger amounts over a long period of time, that cortisol can lead to increase in abdominal fat, decrease in bone density, increase in blood sugar, which can lead to diabetes. So stress can be really problematic long-term for these reasons.
Mm-hmm. And What are some ways that then we could nourish our adrenals and just keep them being our protective barriers from stress?
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to keep in mind that when we're under stress and when we're producing more of these hormones, our body, first of all, uses nutrients to make those hormones. So there are certain nutrients that are used up more quickly when we're under stress because of this excess or additional hormone production. And if you're not taking those nutrients in then, you can quickly become depleted, which then can impair your optimal production of your stress over your hormones and stress response. And these are fairly simple nutrients, but again, we can go through a lot more than when we're under stress. Magnesium is one that comes to, you know, the top of my head as one that has absolutely been shown to be depleted more quickly under all kinds of stress. Even, for example, just being in a noisy environment will mm-hmm. deplete our magnesium levels even faster. Vitamin C is a nutrient that is used in the hydroxylation reactions that make adrenaline. So we use up more vitamin C. Same thing with the B vitamins and zinc. Especially, by the way, when you're talking about B vitamins, especially vitamin B5, but all the Bs together, this is sometimes why you see them labeled as stress complex or something, or, you know, stress tabs or something along those lines, because we do use them and our adrenal glands do use them to make these hormones.
Kate, is it still the thought process to take a B complex and then piggyback more B5 if you want a B5 rather than isolate it?
Yes, all the Bs do tend to work together, and when you take one, you often increase your requirements of the other. So I do generally recommend a B complex as a sort of a base, mm-hmm. But there are instances in which you might want to top up with the individual Bs. There's lots of those instances for each individual B, and B5 is the one that really shines when it comes to stress.
So pantothenic acid or B5 would be really nourishing the adrenal glands?
Yeah, that's right. It helps them do their job better. And, you know, some people will notice just from taking that, again, B complex with some extra B5, like a sense of more resiliency or less frazzle, just that less stress, that actually feel that.
And is there any tricks to picking a good zinc out and kind of how much would we look at as an adult?
That's a good question, because we can actually only absorb so much zinc at one time. You know, when it comes to zinc, there are different options or different types: zinc chelate, zinc citrate. Zinc gluconate, by the way, is another one. I generally tend to recommend zinc citrate because it's inexpensive and effective, but each individual I find is quite different in terms of zinc is a nutrient, especially when taken on an empty stomach, that can sometimes cause an upset stomach. And so, you know, trying different types, zinc citrate, again, tends to be the most stomach friendly, but some people, if they're going to take it on an empty stomach, might prefer a different type. Or look for a lozenge type. Then it's sublingual. It goes straight into the bloodstream under the tongue, and it bypasses the stomach, and it gets right into the system.
So those are all good, simple, nourishing ways that we can keep our adrenals functioning to give us that adrenaline, to give us the cortisol. Next up, I would think of as maybe the pituitary or the thyroid as being protective. How do we protect our thyroids, and what's our thyroid do for us?
Mm-hmm. Oh, our thyroid is the master gland of our metabolism, really, and it produces a thyroid hormone, which governs our body temperature to a large extent, and how quickly or slowly we burn calories can be affected by that, so it can affect weight gain or weight loss. And it is something that is affected ultimately by other hormones. So, for example, you know, slow thyroid, in particular, low thyroid function, is very common. But before I, you know, look at that directly, I will, in fact, often look at the adrenal glands, because sluggish adrenal gland function can then in turn slow down the thyroid. It gets a little complicated, but ultimately adrenal support is so common. Herbs, in addition to the nutrients we recommended as mm-hmm. a foundation, and then at that point you can look at whether you need more help for your thyroid function. But certainly, if you're having any kind of symptoms like feeling cold, tired, constipated, thinning hair, these are some classic thyroid, low thyroid symptoms, mm-hmm. then get your thyroid hormones checked by a practitioner who is familiar with that, such as your naturopathic doctor or somebody who is well-versed in thyroid treatment.
Excellent. So lots to look at there. If we go now to the pituitary, what hormone does that secrete?
Oh, pituitary is a master gland in the brain that affects and ultimately has a feedback mechanism on almost every other gland that we're talking about. And so, you can look directly at the pituitary, but it's often sort of an indirect feedback. What's going on in the adrenals, what's going on in the thyroid will send messages to the pituitary, which will then decide whether you have enough or not enough of certain hormones.
Mm. So some of those nourishing herbs that you would use for the adrenals would actually be nourishing and feeding all the different glandular systems.
Very much so. There is a system called the hypothalamus pituitary axis, the HPA. There is also a similar system for the hypothalamus pituitary ovaries, for example. The thyroid is a part of this. So there are these systems with feedback loops. And many of the botanical supports, and that's one, for example, that is very, very helpful when it comes to adrenal glands. We'll talk about that. Those work on either, the adrenal glands directly or indirectly, or again to help regulate this whole axis, hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenals, that whole connection, because you want to look at, the brain and the adrenals and the communication between them.
Mm-hmm. Wow, there's just so much going on in our bodies, and we really need to be asleep for our bodies to clean and nourish and regulate hormones, don't we?
Very much so. And an important thing that can go wrong, of course, when we're under stress is our sleep gets out of whack. There are lots of reasons for this, but one of the main ones is if we're producing too much cortisol or too much cortisol too late in the day. Cortisol, we're supposed to produce fair amounts in the morning, get us up and going, and then it's supposed to decline as the day goes on so we can unwind and go to sleep. But if there's too much of that late in the day, it will interfere with our melatonin production. And mm-hmm. melatonin is another hormone that is, of course, the famous for being a sleep hormone. And it's important to have, balanced amounts of deep and light sleep for physical and mental restoration, and that in turn then will create a positive feedback for the rest of our hormones.
Mm-hmm. And right now in our world, we've got so much daylight. Does that make it hard for melatonin to be created?
It does make it harder, but of course, the days are longest at this time of year, and there is a certain natural variation. And we are would naturally sleep less at this time of year compared to the winter. The problems really arise when we ignore that natural cycle, and we're spending too much time, for example, on screens too late at night, and that blue light coming from those screens can really interfere with melatonin production. Getting outside and trying to expose yourself to as much natural light as possible, in fact, will help promote healthy sleep patterns, and that's year-round. So at this time of year, it's if you're going to bed a bit later or waking up earlier, that's natural. In the dark winter months when you're staying up looking at a screen late at night, that's not natural.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep that in mind.
Okay, Kate, we're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about stress and hormones.